Morning. It's great to have you all here today. It's great to be with you, and it's exciting to come to God's Word this morning. We're going to continue our series today called Heart for the House, looking at church and what church means to each of us, but more importantly, partly about what it means to God. Because if it's important to God, it should be important to us. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, just a quick recap. We spoke last week about how in the Old Testament it talks about how David and Solomon were going to build a house to God. And when they build this house to God, it says that God's heart will always be in it and God's eyes will always be upon it. And we talked about how, but the problem with that statement is that the temple was destroyed twice. So where is God's eyes? Where is God's heart? And we talked about how we look into the New Testament and the church is described as the house of God, the dwelling place of where God is. And we looked at how therefore God's heart is in his church and his focus is upon his church. And we looked at how it's time that we as people who call ourselves Christians who come to church start being church rather than playing at church. Because when we play at church, church becomes a pointless exercise. So we're going to carry on in that vein today, looking at what it means for us to be here this day, what it means to be part of a local church. And we looked last week, I began by reading a bit, you probably can't remember this, but I did begin last week preaching with a statement from 1 Chronicles 22, which talked about David saying, that the house will be built for the Lord, and it should be great, and it should be magnificent, and the fame and splendor will be shown to all the nations. That's from 1 Chronicles 22. There's a bit just before that which talks about how David trying to get everything ready for the temple. It says that David gave orders to assemble aliens living in Israel, and from among them he appointed stonecutters to prepare dressed stone for the building of the house of God. I was preparing last week, this bit caught my eye, and I couldn't wait to preach this week's sermon. David calls aliens in the land, i.e. people who are foreigners, people who are not native to that land, to be the people who cut the dressed stone for the temple. And when I read that, my mind immediately flipped forward to 1 Peter, where it talks about being built with living stones. Think about it. It was aliens in the land, foreigners in the land, who were to build the stonework, the house of God. Think about when we are the church, people who are Gentiles, people who are not Jews, people who are aliens in the land of Israel. We are like aliens in the land, and we are called to be like living stones. And if we've got our Bibles open, we can turn to 1 Peter Chapter 2, and it says this: therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also are like living stones, and are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And it goes on a bit there to talk about how, actually, the living stones can be a stumbling block for those who are not in Christ. We might touch on that a bit later on, but what struck me about this passage was that we are built together. We are living stones. We build the house. We make the house to be what the house should be. We have a responsibility in this place to be the thing that builds it, to make it magnificent, to make it glorious, so its splendor can be seen to the whole nation. But it says, we're called to be building up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And immediately my mind then turns from that phrase, spiritual sacrifice, to Romans chapter 12, which is one of my favourite passages in all of Scripture. Romans chapter 12. And if you've got your Bibles, we'll go there now. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion with his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do so cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lowly positions. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it is dependent upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take refuge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, to me, that sounds a lot like Paul is describing what we looked at last week in Acts chapter 2 about the early church. And in chapter 2, we see this situation of the early church sharing everything they have. Loving each other, being devoted to one another, being devoted to the teachings, being devoted to the breaking of bread, to prayer, to the fellowship. And for me, our spiritual act of worship is that. That we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. But in doing that, what we do is we say to God, your will, not my will. And actually what you have made me to do, I will use for your purpose, first and foremost. So we think back to 1 Peter, it talks about being built with living stones. Each of us is like a stone which builds part of this house. And the thing that struck me when I was thinking about this is when you look at a wall and all the bricks that are in a wall, all of them share the weight. All of them share the load. And if you start taking out bricks out of the wall, it puts more weight on other bricks around them. And the more bricks you take out, the more structurally unstable it becomes. And the more weight and pressure that burdens the gaps. And what God spoke to me this week was saying this. Each of us have responsibility in God's house. If each of us are like the bricks in a wall, if we decide that actually I can't be bothered, it's like we take ourselves out of the wall. And what happens is, we put more pressure on other people around us. Can we expect other people to pick up what actually God's called me to do? And the more we remove ourselves, the more pressure it puts on others. So that other people are having to burden the weight for those who can't always be bothered. And I find that really powerful. Especially if we're going to be the house of God, a solid structure. And it says in 1 Peter, with Christ as our cornerstone, or as our foundation. Christ as our foundation. He burdens the entire weight of the church. He is the head of the church. But each of us have responsibility within it. If we are called to be in Christ, we are called to be in the body of Christ. And therefore we have a function and responsibility in it. And when we don't do that, the whole body suffers. And so other people pick up our responsibilities. And then we wonder why in church there are some people who are really stressed all the time, and some people who just turn up occasionally. And actually, the scriptures are very clear. Everyone has been given gifts according to a measure of faith. And each of us are called to think about what it is that God has given us and how we can best use that to glorify God, yes, but for the benefit of us as the body of Christ. See, I believe God gives every church all the gifts it needs to function in every season of its life. And as a church will grow, God will add people to its number. And therefore, there'll be more things that you can do because there's more gifts that God can utilize. But I believe that no matter how big or small a church is, all the gifts that are needed for a season are within the house. But sometimes we hide our gifts away. Sometimes we think, oh, well, unless God tells me to do it, I'm not going to bother. And I believe we should do it the other way around. But actually, we should use our gifts unless God says otherwise. That doesn't mean to say that there's not a timely place for seasons when actually it's right to serve and right to pull back from serving. But we should be constantly thinking about what our gifts are and what season we're in. And sometimes we can get caught up in one particular ministry which stops us utilizing other gifts in the house. So we get so obsessed and focused on one aspect of church life that we can't see the wood for the trees. And actually, other gifts that God's given us go to the wayside. We have to think about what responsibility we are called to take. And church membership is about taking responsibility. And if you're a member of this church, we covenant together so that in everything that we do, we say all of us have responsibility. We have church meetings to make decisions. And if you remember, it's not you have a vote because you have a say. It's actually you have a vote. You have a right to make your point made because you have a responsibility in this house. And so you have a responsibility because you're part of it. Because you shoulder part of the burden of this church. All of us have something to give. All of us are called to be doing different things in different seasons of this church's life. And we need to think about what gifts God has given us and in what season we are in to what we should be doing and when. But when I was thinking about this, I thought, that's great, that's fantastic, but God, I need something more to help me understand this. And God dropped something in my spirit this week, which blew me away. And I hope it will for you too. And maybe it was just me. But it blew me away. When you look at what the word living stone can mean in the Greek, that word stone there can mean two things. It can mean to stumble. So later on in 1 Peter it talks about the stumbling block. So living stone can mean to stumble. But the other word which blew me away is it can also mean a millstone. It can mean a millstone. A living stone. Now, a millstone has to be active. It actively turns. It's an active, it's a living stone. It turns around again and again and again. And what's the point of a millstone? It's to transform grain into flour. The millstone is a place of transformation. It transforms individual grains into flour. And from flour, you get bread. And in Scripture, bread is always associated with life. And it's always associated with grace. And we think about when Jesus says, "I am the living bread." So for me, what I saw was God saying this, that church is like the living stones, the millstone, the place where individual grains become part of the flour which bakes the bread. That all comes together as one entity in Christ. And last week we had a word of knowledge about God speaking to us about being like a piece of dough, which is being raised gradually. See, we come to church, and the whole point of church is to help us in our journey with God to be transformed more into his image and his likeness. Because the church is the tangible hands and feet of God to each other and to the world. And so the millstone has to be living and active to transform the grain into flour in order to get the bread. So an active millstone leads to life. But if it's not active, what is a millstone? It's just a dead weight. It's a dead weight. It does nothing. It can't transform anything. It just sits there. And for me, when I thought about the word millstone, immediately my mind springs to Matthew's gospel, where it talks about Jesus saying, if any of you stop any of these little ones coming to me, it's like tying a millstone around your neck, and you might as well throw yourself into the waters of the deep. And in Matthew's gospel, when it talks about little ones or children, it sometimes does mean children. But quite often in Matthew's gospel, it's always an analogy for the disciples, the children of God. If you stop any disciples coming to me, being in my presence, doing what I want to do with them, you might as well tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the waters of the deep. If we are the church, the disciples of Jesus, we want to come to the place of him, the place of life. And when we don't do our part in church, when we're not as loving and as kind, and it is hard, and we can only do it through the grace of God, but we strive to do it so that we're not stumbling blocks for other people in this church. We serve so that someone else can be blessed by that. And when all of us serve, we are all internally blessed by that. Because as much as we give out, we receive 10 times fold back. We receive more back because of it. Because other people are serving us. But when we stop other people coming to Jesus, maybe we don't use the gifts that we've got to help people come into a closer relationship with Jesus. It's like tying a millstone around your neck. It becomes dead weight. And so what God said to me this week was this, is church either can bring life or it leads to death. Have you ever felt in church that it's just like dead weight? It's a burden. It's hard work. You think, what's the point in coming to church? What's the point in serving this ministry? It's just like dead weight. All it does is burden me down, and I'm sick of it. And you know what? Sometimes that's a fair point. Because I think church can either bring life or it can bring death. And if it's not living and active, rather than leading to life, it just sits there as dead weight. Nothing is transformed. Nothing is brought closer to the life-giving power of Christ. Grace isn't being shown. It becomes just dead weight. So all of us have got to take responsibility for everyone else in this church. It's not just my responsibility or leadership's responsibility or those few people in the church who do those things. It's everyone's responsibility. We are all living stones. We we should all be living and active, all encouraging people into the presence of Christ, bringing life to each other. Because if we don't, our Christian faith becomes just dead weight. It does nothing for us. It just sits there. And it becomes burdensome. Because rather than bringing life, because it's living inactive, it just sits doing nothing. And it's like carrying a millstone around your neck constantly wherever you go. And you think, God, I've got to go to another church meeting. God, I've got to pray some more. Oh, I've got to do this now. And actually it's saying, is your faith living and active? Are you offering spiritual sacrifices to God by giving your whole self, your whole being? Are you saying, God, you have made me special. You have made me in a particular way with talents, gifts, and abilities which other people in this church don't have. So I will use them to be a blessing in this house, so that all benefit from what you have given to me. And therefore, and I recognize that within that, I can't do everything, and therefore I need to be blessed by everyone else as well. Because the problem in church is that a few people do all the work. And so the few people get really tired because they're taking more of the weight and responsibility than other people are. So they get disheartened because actually the load they're carrying is too heavy for them. And it's because other people in church aren't doing their bit. And church becomes light and life-giving when everyone is engaged in the life of the church. It hasn't got to be necessarily doing something physical. It can be through being someone who's a prayer warrior for the church. It can be making that phone call to someone and say, how are you doing? Are you okay today? It can be sending a quick email to someone just saying, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you today. It can be the little things. One of the greatest blessings I have in this church, no joke, it might sound really pathetic and simple, I love the fact when I walk into church, quite often I'm handed a cup of tea. And it might seem simple, but actually it's such a blessing to me because I wouldn't get time otherwise to do that. And it blesses me no end because it means that I can have something which I wouldn't be able to go and get myself otherwise because I'm doing other things. Little things like that can be a real blessing, and is someone using their gifts and doing their bit in the life of the church to bring a blessing to all of us. So really, my message this morning is very simple. We are called to be living stones. The stones that build up the house of God. And part of being a living stone is living as a living sacrifice, as a holy priesthood. And so we look at Romans 12, which teaches us about what that looks like to be living as a spiritual sacrifice. And it never, ever detaches what God's doing in you personally and what God is doing in the life of the church. And you can't separate being a Christian from being in community. Because as soon as you do, you miss the heartbeat of God. Because God is Trinity and God is community. So Romans 12 teaches us about the importance of what God does in us, what God does through us as a people. And Romans 13 goes on to talk about what God does in the world. The mission that we have as the church to reach out to the world in which we live. But I said last week, how on earth can we reach out to the world and show them the love of God if we can't do it in our own house? If we can't do it here, then how on earth can we reach out to the world? Because they'll see us and go, you're hypocrites. You talk about love, but you don't love each other. You talk about serving the needs of each other, but you don't do that yourself. If we are not being living, active people, being a living, active church, being the body of Christ, the world will just laugh at us. They'll just laugh at us and go, what's all that about? Because what they see is a millstone around our neck. Whereas we know that actually the millstone has a purpose. That the living stones transform. They transform the grain into flour, so that they can be part of the body of Christ. So let's think about being church. Not playing at it, What is your responsibility in this church? Now, we've got a church meeting coming up in a week's time, I think it's 22nd of January. And I'm a big fan of church meetings. Now, not everyone can always make church meetings, and I understand that. But if you are a member of this church, you have a responsibility to be there. Why? Because you're a member of the church. And therefore, no matter how boring it might seem, no matter how time-consuming it might be, the point is actually, it's your responsibility. That's why we come to church meetings. That's why we come to be together. All of us have responsibility. What's yours? What's mine? What is our responsibility together? Because Christ is our foundation. But he uses us to continue to build his kingdom. So we take responsibility for that with him. He helps us. He aids us. But we are responsible. If we are in Christ, we have heard the good news. We have a responsibility to share it and to live it and to be it. Let's just pray. Lord God, I want to thank you that you call us to be the house of God, the place where your heart is and your focus is upon. Lord, the place where people are transformed in their life. Lord, I pray that we'd be living and active stones that build the house of God. That, Lord, rather than church being a millstone around our neck, Lord, it'd be a life-giving place, a place of transformation, a place where we become more like you, a place where we become baked into the reality of the living bread. Lord God, you give life, you give grace. Help us be a church which always points everyone back to you so that they can find life and they can find grace. Help us find our place within this church. Lord, help us know what to do in which season of life. So that, Lord, we can share what you have given us with all those around us to bless and to be blessed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.